You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, Will Middlebrooks a couple years ago looked like a guy who, even if he wasn't a completely well-rounded hitter, was going to be a pretty good ball player and a regular at third base and at least a cheap sort of cost-controlled option for the Red Sox for years to come. That hasn't happened, and in fact, he's been even worse since his recall than he was before. What happened to this guy?
Yeah, it's really mystifying, Matthew, because, you know, the one thing that's a real premium on these days is, you know, a right-handed corner infielder with power. Those guys are hard to find. In 2012, the Red Sox really thought that they had a guy who could be their third baseman for, you know, at least the next, you know, 5-6 years. And he was their one bright spot they had in that entire debacle that was the 2012 season under Bobby Valentine. And then, you know, last year he comes in. They were so excited about him that they had Mike Lowell come in for a couple of days during spring training just to work with him on his defense because they thought, you know, that was really the next step for him. And then, you know, just a kind of a, you know, he would just rotate between injuries and inconsistency at the plate. Couldn't stay healthy, and then when he was healthy, couldn't hit. And it's just continued into, you know, there was a great optimism going into this year again because, you know, he was the quintessential player who had a great winter last year, you know, worked out, looked noticeably sort of, I thought, stronger, seemed stronger in a good way, and again seemed poised to get back on track and got off to another slow start, had injuries right out of the gate, just hasn't been able to get anything going offensively. So they're really confused because there's no, you know, I think we talked on this podcast before about Jackie Bradley Jr. and maybe some disconnect with, you know, what they're telling him to do and what he's actually doing. There's no disconnect here between the Red Sox and Will Middlebrooks. They love his enthusiasm. They feel like he works on everything they ask him to work on and all the pregame stuff, and it's just not translating onto the field. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be the Red Sox to have to make that decision, you know, going into next year. You know, do you cut bait on this guy where he literally doesn't have much value right now, or do you, you know, give him yet another chance next year?
Yeah, and I want to get to that in a sec. In the meantime, is it as simple as just not controlling the strike zone? It was always an issue for him, but I'm just wondering if anybody, is this just a complete mystery, or are there reasons why this guy hasn't hit more? Again, he doesn't control the strike zone, but there are guys who strike out 4 or 5 times as much as they walk who are not hitting 190.
Yeah, you know, he has made a kind of a concerted effort to be more patient, and the amazing thing is the amount of times he has struck out looking lately, just almost being too tentative and maybe trying too much to change his approach. I think he struck out in Yankee Stadium last week in one game. He struck out 4 times all on the off-speed pitches looking, you know, in the same game, and just kind of looked like a mess right there. So I think the interesting thing is that the Red Sox are trying to get Will Middlebrooks to play winter ball this year, just to make, because he's lost a lot of at-bats. And this is the other thing that I think is hard, is he's lost so many at-bats because of injuries that he's having a hard time making that up, and I think he always feels like he's trying to play catch-up when he gets back. So I think they feel like maybe winter ball would be a good setting for him to go out and just kind of get reacclimated to baseball a little bit and just get in a pressure-free zone there where not many eyes are on him and just see if he can get back to the guy that they think he can be. Will thus far hasn't said that he's definitely going to do that. I know the team continues to be in discussions with Will about playing winter ball. So, I think it would be a good thing for him if he would go out and do that.
And then the other thing you touched on some, is there a place for this guy on the team next year? Is there a spot for him? It's not like they necessarily are going to owe him a lot of money, but they've got to figure out what they're doing at third base. Is there a spot for him on the roster in 2015?
Well, yeah, because third base is one of the few spots on this team where there's a great deal of uncertainty where you can't look at it right now and say, you know, who's our third baseman for next year and see a clear guy. You know, you have Brock Holt, who certainly had a nice year as a utility guy. I still think in a perfect world for a good baseball team that's in contention, Brock Holt is the perfect guy to come off the bench and be a super sub. I don't see him as a, you know, 600 bat player for a championship team. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll prove me wrong, but that's the way I see it. Garrett Cicchini, another prospect they're high on, hasn't yet hit for power that you might look for a corner infielder. Very good, pure hitter, really does have control of the strike zone, unlike Middlebrooks, really patient eyes, so not sure they're quite ready to bank on him. So the interesting thing for the Red Sox is, do they go out and spend money for a third baseman this winter? I think there's a few out there on the open market, and is that where they spend some money, is to get a third baseman? Because it's hard to really bank on Will. And then, you know, you have the option with Will. You know, he still has minor league options. So do you trade him this winter, or do you kind of bring him back and see if he can boost some of his value back up and then trade him? It's going to be interesting to see exactly what they do with him.
You mentioned Holt, who really has kind of turned back into a pumpkin a little bit. And since the All-Star break, yeah. 278 OBP, 271 slugging. Not that this guy doesn't have value, but is this a case where a guy who maybe was over his head has been exposed a little bit? Again, not that he doesn't have value. I think he's a guy who, as you note, has some value to a club. But have we probably seen the best 3 months of Brock Holt's career?
Yeah, I think as an everyday player, you know, I think that we did. You know, I don't think it was necessarily a fluke what he was doing earlier in the year, because I think this guy is a pretty good hitter, has a pretty sound approach up there. Never going to hit for power, I don't think. But, you know, you look at his minor league numbers, and they were pretty good, too. And, you know, it's really opened my eyes about Brock Holt this year. It's just how versatile. I mean, this guy has played, not just played seven positions this year, but played seven positions pretty well. And you can't put a price on that. So I think what's happened is he's gotten tired. I mean, he's never had close to this many at-bats in a season. Doesn't have a big body, obviously. And I think that, like I said, I just think that he's a perfect kind of 300 to 350 at-bat type of guy, almost like, you know, I think Daniel Nava is the same way a little bit. And just he's a good guy to have in your team, but not, you know, not 650 plate appearances.
And then to go back to another thing you touched on, if Middlebrooks is not the guy, and it looks like, and they probably realize this as well, if Brock Holt is not the guy, what is out there? What are the options? Are there viable external options, either through trade or free agency, to be the third baseman for this team next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can always go out and find somebody. Look, I know Jed Lowry is, you know, he's obviously had a hard time staying healthy. He really showed flashes with Oakland last year, what he can be when he's healthy. You know, he's a guy that's free agency, is obviously familiar with the organization. And, you know, the Red Sox have chips where they can make they can go make a trade for a third baseman. So I think that that market, there's not a complete clear picture of what that market is yet, but yeah, I think that they'll go out and they can find somebody who can play third base for them next year.
Is it safe to say that with the outfield basically secured, that the third base and the rotation are the biggest questions facing this team for 2015?
Yeah, I think so. The rotation is just kind of a huge question mark. Because, you know, right now you look at, you see one established guy in Buchholz, and I see, you know, Joe Kelly, who I think you kind of know what Joe Kelly is by this point. I think, you know, low, can be a lower rotation star, fourth or fifth guy on a good team. I think he showed that last year with the Cardinals. And then after that, you have all these young guys right now. So, yeah, I think that they're going to go out and sign or trade for a minimum of two starters over the winter. And there's great interest in who that's going to be, because, you know, a lot of people thought it was pretty gutsy that they would trade not just John Lester, but also John Lackey, who they had some control over for next season. So just to, you know, just to trade two guys like that, and just to be sure that you're going to be able to replace them. There's a lot of scrutiny on them this winter to see, you know, what they do to replace those two guys.
And there's one other thing that could conceivably be a question that I think everybody hopes isn't, but Koji Uehara has scuffled and is kind of in a little bit of a limbo right now. I think a month or two ago, it would have been thought that if he wanted to come back, they'd want him back and they'd find some way to do another year or 2 years and make that work again. What's the status with him, not only now, but going forward? What is the situation? Is Uehara still on the table for 2015, or has that changed some?
Yeah, I think they hope he is. A really interesting point, because you look at the July 31st trade deadline, when the Red Sox were just pretty much trading anybody and everybody that teams were calling about, and they got a nut. I think Ben Sherrington said of all the players on his team, the guys who got the most calls on were Andrew Miller and Koji Uehara. And, of course, they traded Andrew Miller, got a pretty good prospect there. But Koji was the one guy that they said, look, we're going to hold on to this guy. Because I think at that point, Koji had been almost on a historic run for the last calendar year. The numbers he had put up between the time he took over as closer in middle of June of 13 until the trade deadline this year. So they say, okay, $14 million qualifying offer. That's a pretty easy decision for us. I think we're going to give him that qualifying offer. and know that our closer role is going to be set for next year. And Cody's going to be 40 next year, so I don't think he would really be looking for a long-term deal. So we'll probably take the qualifying offer. But then all of a sudden he can't get anybody out, and his splitter is not splitting. It's just keeping up their belt high, and guys are putting into the seats all of a sudden. So now it's like, okay, is Koji Uwar in decline, or is this simply a guy who pitched deep into October last year and was leaned on pretty heavily by the Red Sox this year and is now just kind of paying the price for that? I tend to think that you see a lot of guys when they pitch deep into the playoffs and World Series, even guys who aren't 39, they kind of have that struggle at some point and hit a wall the next year. I think that that's what's happened with Koji. I think that right now they're shutting him down for a few days, and they're really hoping that, you know, the last couple weeks of the season they can get a glimpse of him kind of being back to the Koji of old, being a guy they'd be comfortable bringing back. If not the closer next year, then at least, you know, a key guy in their bullpen.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for chatting here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.